everybody. Welcome to another episode of Breaking In. I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Episode 61.
I was going to say, did you forget the number or just not going to mention it?
Okay. No. I totally remembered it at the last second. So I figured that we would, as everyone knows, the Emmys were this past weekend. And we're not going to say a whole lot about them because they were relatively boring. No surprises, Modern Family, blah, blah, blah. But I thought it would really be interesting to have a conversation about TV because of what's kind of going on. Breaking Bad is ending next week. Dexter ended this past week.
How I Met Your Mother
is ending. There's a lot of shows coming to, they've announced that Mad Men's going to end in next year, so there's a lot of things going on that would be good to talk about. That being said, major spoiler alert, because there's no way we can talk about these shows without talking about what's happened, what's going to happen. So if you're not caught up on Dexter or Breaking Bad or Mad Men or haven't ever seen the end of The Sopranos,
prepare to be spoiled.
Yeah. Stop listening now.
But no, don't do that. Huh? No, don't do that.
Just be prepared. No matter whether we give it away or not, it's still fun to watch.
Yes. No. True. Agreed.
Yeah. Well, I think, I had kind of an idea of how this conversation would go, but then we watched new TV last night, and it kind of changed a little bit. I kind of wanted to talk about the sort of the anti-hero as the main character, because that seems to be really big on, all of the shows we watch, Breaking Bad,
right.
Mad Men, right. Sopranos. You can even make an argument that Jeff Daniels' character is sort of an anti-hero on Newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got? Obviously Dexter. I feel like almost every show we watch right now that's worth... I mean, you can make an argument that Rick is an anti-hero in Walking Dead based on some of the decisions he makes.
Yeah.
And then sort of talking about the shows, network shows. Last night was the premiere of a new series called The Blacklist, which, by the way, another sort of anti-hero.
Mm-hmm. True.
But I just
Ray Donovan.
That's Ray Donovan. Ray Donovan. Yeah, yeah, of course. Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is an interesting place to start is all of your shitty comments that you made last night while we were watching season premieres and premieres of new series, and it really made me take note that network TV is so fucking boring compared to cable TV.
I don't know why. Do you think that's like the religion has their holds on them? So they're...
No.
I mean, they're swearing and shit, so I don't know why.
I mean...
Almost every show we talk about, it's like, well, we're going to have to give it 3 episodes because it's like no show can get its foothold in the first or second episode. It's like you need to give them 3... for everybody to figure it out, which is sad.
I think that I've watched... It really did hit me last night when you were sitting there complaining about some of the stuff that the network TV shows were doing. And even Castle, which, by the way, is going into, its 5th season or 6th season?
Right.
And a show that I've loved for 5 seasons. Last night was so disappointing in terms of just the hokiness. I mean, there was always some of that. I think what happened is that in the past 2 months, I've been catching up on all of this quality HBO programming. And also, which, by the way, I do want to talk about it, The Good Wife, because that is technically a network show, but it doesn't feel like it a lot of times.
No.
But catching up on The Good Wife, I've caught up on Boardwalk Empire, Game of Thrones... I watched 5 seasons of Big Love, which another anti-hero. Watching such good TV in the off season has spoiled regular TV, when it came back in the fall.
Right, right. Okay, let's see what you got. You canceled all the good shows that we love. You canceled them all because obviously they were not good enough to make it, and then you're going to put this on.
Right.
Yeah. It better be good.
Yeah, I think The Blacklist might be able to find its footing. I don't know.
I think we have to give it three shows. Yeah.
We never made it through the pilot for Ironside.
No,
it was stupid. There was a remake from the '70s or eighties.
Yeah, it's been done too many times already.
Yeah.
Why? Can't you go find a new idea? Jesus.
And the whole idea now, in 2013, of a cop in a wheelchair that has a quote-unquote different perspective because things look different from quote-unquote down here, which, by the way, is actual dialogue from the pilot.
Yeah. Not saying that badly. That is how they said it. So.
It doesn't work. No. My dad texted me the other day and asked if we had watched the pilot for Sleepy Hollow. And I saw the trailer, the preview for Sleepy Hollow, mm-hmm. and the concept was so fucking ridiculous of how they chose to modernize Ichabod Crane.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't modernize it. They literally just had Ichabod Crane like fall through time because the Headless Horseman is... Yeah. I mean, it's just...
I don't even get the concept of it. Is that supposed to be so some guy is Ichabod somebody's Crane, after his head every week? That's the show.
I don't know. Ichabod Crane comes back to 2013 and helps a sassy black cop, you know, so it's your off pairing,
right?
You know, guy from 1700 and black woman. What kind of hijinks are they going to get into?
And all the funny things he's going to say because he doesn't know about them.
Like, what are these cell phones?
Yeah.
But he'll pronounce it mobile.
Yes. No, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even think here's...
And once again, by the way, not a new idea. You're literally stealing from an old story.
Right.
Seriously, there are no new ideas.
Wasn't that a short story?
Yes. Yeah.
The idea that networks don't go out on a limb, and to keep it on point and on track, when we talk about network shows, we're not referring to any of the sitcoms. I think our half-hour comedy shows either hit or miss.
Right.
And the ones that do hit, you know, Modern Family, How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory, are celebrated and go on for a mm-hmm. long time. And comedy is comedy and it's subjective and whatever.
Right.
But I'm specifically talking about the dramas.
Right.
I think that there's a censorship level working to where network TV shows don't go out on a limb, which doesn't make any sense because, and I guess this is a good time to bring up The Good Wife. The Good Wife is it's on CBS. CBS is well known in the industry as the old stodgy,
mm-hmm. Old people watch it.
Old people channel.
Yeah.
You know, it's your NCIS's, mm-hmm. it's your, what's the other one with the two guys that run around? One's a rapper and one used to be Robin.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I think that's an NCIS, too. I think that's Los Angeles or whatever. But anyway, it's
Law and Order, NCIS.
Law and Order's those, NBC, but still. But it's that... That bullshit. CSI is a big CBS hit, which should have gone off the air 5 seasons ago.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
But The Good Wife is actually... I'm amazed with the amount of things that they get away with for network TV. Obviously, it's no comparison to the nudity and swearing of HBO. And even, you know, HBO and Showtime are on their own level because of the fact that there is no censorship.
Right.
Orange is the New Black and House of Cards, by the way. 2 more shows with anti-heroes. I have no regulation because it's... Netflix subscription,
which means that's coming.
yeah
sorry about I'm that sure. But I'm sure that's on its way.
But the idea of like, okay, so just there's a multitude of lesbian sex scenes,
mm-hmm.
there's, having studied censorship, the fact that there is a, there's a scene in a bathroom where the husband puts the wife on the sink and dips his head below frame, and you know he's going down on her.
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, number one...
And they don't show... You're not seeing anything.
Right, and she has a fairly explosive reaction to it, and pun intended, obviously, mm-hmm. but her orgasm isn't muted, which... Two things going on. Number one, the fact that oral sex is actually introduced, because if you know, it's something that people don't think about, but
it's not on
it's
TV.
Not, oral sex doesn't exist. Yeah. It does. It rarely exists in the movies.
Yeah.
Unless there's a specific point to, and it's usually a blowjob.
Right. True.
And oral sex. Having a woman get oral sex is even more
rare. Yeah.
And then having a woman achieve orgasm.
Where they don't mute out the sound and just show her face or right. One or the other kind of thing.
I know there was a scene in Boys Don't Cry, and now we're talking about movies here, and the oral sex scene in that between two women was... got them an NC-17 rating, and it was because when I think it was Chloe Sevigny or whatever wiped her mouth after she got done, so it was too graphic.
Oh, that was too graphic. Yeah, we actually know what you were doing now. Yes.
And even there's a scene. It's very subtle, and it could be taken a couple of different ways. But there's a scene with Kalinda and I think the FBI agent where they are post-coitus, and the FBI agent turns around and reaches for something, and as she does, she wipes her mouth. And you could...
Oh, I don't even know if I noticed that.
You could... It's so subtle.
Yeah.
It's so subtle. And it just, again, the fact that I've studied censorship and taught a class on it, I see these things.
Right.
And you could interpret that as... they just had hot sex and she's sweaty and she's just, you know,
right.
Or you could interpret it as
right.
There's
not necessarily saying though.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also, there's a couple of times where I think the sex scenes have been, which, you know, and this is really annoying that, you know, this is one of my big problems with censorship is that we're not having a conversation about violence. It's like the network shows are breaking ground by having what's the politically correct term, like just monogamous regular old married people
yeah
sex.
right and we don't want to see it,
but yet when we talk about HBO, Showtime, Netflix, FX, AMC, they're breaking ground.
Yeah,
violent,
but
I've
heard the opposite comments too, and I tend to agree with it. Like Girls goes, there was a comedian who made a joke about, I've never seen such a large girl want to be naked so much on TV.
Oh, right.
From Girls.
Right.
And it's fine when it fits for the scene that you're showing something, but a lot of times it has nothing to do with the scene. It's really what, I'm not sure what the point of it is. So just for the sake of doing it, no, that's stupid.
I checked out on Girls. I tried to catch up on the second season because I realized I hadn't seen any of the second season.
Uh-huh.
Can do it. It's not a fun show where I just feel like the situations that they put themselves in or that they create or that she creates with her neuroticism.
Right.
Is just I would literally rather watch Larry David navigate his uncomfortable situations than her navigate hers.
Well, that's I think she does only one. These are all the terrible things that happen.
Right.
Whether they're caused by me or outside forces, these are all the terrible things that happen. And
most of the time, they're caused by her.
Right.
At least that's what I remember from the first season.
Yeah.
That, and you know, I know this is going to sound really shitty to say, and it's not just her, because it's also him. They're not good people to look at.
No, I don't want to see either one of them naked, actually. No,
and you see them naked all the time.
I know. That's the other thing. It's not... People in life don't walk around that naked. I am sorry. If you want to say that you're... It's true life. No, I don't... I've been married twice, for God's sakes. Nobody was walking around naked all the time. It just didn't happen. So that is not... They can't say this is real life.
And I'm sure he's... Him specifically, I'm sure he's probably a good-looking guy. He's fit. But his dumbass, tall, shaggy hair, scruffy beard thing...
Yeah, like you haven't showered in a week.
Yes.
Makes me not want to see you naked either.
And that and the fact that he's an asshole and an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And when that show came out, you know, it was sort of being sold as the next Sex and the City. But the thing with Sex and the City is, number one, it was really well written. I went back and I started watching a couple of the original episodes. That first season was really tight. It was about dating in your 30s and dating in New York. And
you could see, I've had some of those situations. Right. So at least they were... true to life, and yet no one was running around naked. I mean, you did see naked people when it was appropriate.
Right.
We're in bed having sex, then you show me naked. There we go.
Which, by the way, just a quick tangent with Sex and the City, is Bobby Cannavale won an Emmy this past weekend for his role on Boardwalk Empire last season.
Oh, cool.
Because he was amazing.
Yeah.
Very scary guy, and
super.
One of to get the range, bringing it all back to Sex and the City, Bobby Cannavale always to me is going to be bad tasting spunk guy. Samantha
yes
has to get him to drink like wheatgrass or something because he has funky spunk. That was the name of the episode. He was funky spunk guy.
Yeah.
Got to start somewhere.
Yep.
But anyway, that show, I think, sort of fell
apart.
Which
is true, too, by the way. Ladies. Am I right?
which that show turned into glitz and glamour and really more about Carrie's relationship problems.
Right.
Obviously, those women, that show started when they were all kind of 35. And throughout the course of 6 seasons, they had to grow up, you know.
Right. Yes.
So it's understandable that
they had to branch out. You can't just be about dating until you're 60.
So the show became something else and was good, but that first season is really, really smart.
Yeah. It probably went on longer than it should have.
Probably.
Yeah.
The whole Russian Baryshnikov.
Yeah, I know. They went crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, bringing it back to censorship and just what we see.
So is that why CBS isn't doing good? Is that what you think? That they're not pushing the envelope?
No. I was just making a comparison between violence. You know, I would probably argue that Hannibal is pretty graphic
They've loosened up on violence a lot.
Again, look at the shows. Let's take Showtime, HBO, Netflix off the table because you have to be subscribers to that. But when you look at Breaking Bad, Walking Dead,
Walking Dead alone Justified, is pretty.
The season finale of Justified last season, not this year's season. Guy got his arm cut off.
Yep.
With a machete.
So
on purpose.
It's so funny that. And I still think it's a lot of that has to do with the religious. They're the first ones. If somebody does, when Murphy Brown wanted to have a baby, religion was the first one to get involved and say, what the heck is going on in our society? So the fact that they actually have loosened up on violence, so that's okay. More guns, more guns. But let's not show so much love.
Well, I mean, when you look at, just censorship on TV throughout the course of history, I mean, you're talking about a medium that started with Desi and Lucy in separate beds, but had a kid. You know, there's always the old joke that I've heard multiple people, you know, while they put the, they push the beds together once.
At least, just once. Probably just once.
And I remember All in the Family, weird television factoids that I have roaming around in my brain. Like, All in the Family was the first show where you heard a toilet flush. Where it was like...
Yeah, and that was funny, too. Funny shit right there.
Literally.
It was. No pun intended.
You know, obviously, when you went through those shows in the 70s and 80s where the lines began to blur, your Archie Bunkers and Jeffersons and Good Times and...
Well, you know, it just the focus gets changed. It hasn't come around to sex yet. The focus back then was racism. Archie Bunker was things that were horrible on TV.
My point being is that we've gone from a married couple in, you know, bringing
right,
in your
separate
religious,
beds.
In separate
yes, yeah.
beds
okay.
to
right.
Oral sex in a
right.
bathroom.
Right.
Which okay, I'll give that's quite a leap. It only took 60 years for it to happen.
But. So sad. So sad.
And it really, I mean, when you think about it, network TV is where it all started. I mean, your NYPD Blues, your...
And still, it still is. It's still an argument. I'm sure that they're still fighting. They're the following the rules and how many times you can say this. And.
But when you look at, the Emmys this past week... there were only like one or two network shows, again, comedies aside, just talking about dramas. You know, The Good Wife was the only one from a network channel that was nominated for Best Drama. Everything else was your Downton Abbey, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, you know,
off channels,
Homeland, right. which again, another anti-hero, Boardwalk Empire. Those are the what's defining TV right now. Is cable, not networks.
Right. Which is good. I'm happy about that.
And we kind of had this conversation when we were talking about Orange is the New Black and House of Cards and the Netflix thing. But I think right now, just coming from the sitting down as writers and, you know, we're trying to kind of play with, you know, what would our TV idea be? And it's funny because watching Breaking Bad last night was absolutely amazing. It's the second to the last show. Having experienced 8 seasons of Dexter, Homeland, all of these shows, even House of Cards, the first thing that pops into my head in terms of my idea for a TV show is a network formulaic.
Which way?
Show.
Clean or...
No, totally clean.
Oh, totally clean.
I mean, and it's funny.
So drama or comedy?
Drama. It would be... I'm not going to say too much, but it would be in the vein of, like, The X-Files.
Oh, right. Oh, right. Yes.
And for shits and giggles, I went back and I started watching The X-Files. I went back and watched the pilot.
Turned out to be a mistake.
Turned out to be a total mistake. That show was fucking horrible. Like, and by the way, I love The X-Files. My memory of The X-Files, and it was that show back then before DVR, where never missed it.
Oh no!
Until about season 5,
and it was the weird creature. It was the weird things they found. Great acting.
David Duchovny, horrible actor. Gillian Anderson she has a stick up her ass. Now I know for a fact. I know. That the production value got better later on in the series, and I know the clothes definitely got better because her pantsuits that they put her in,
terrible,
horrible,
not her fault.
And they definitely loosened up and found their stride with the characters and the quality of the acting.
Yeah,
but that pilot is great for story, horrible for every other aspect.
But back then considered.
Groundbreaking.
One of its best. One of the best out
TV.
There. Yeah.
And it's like,
it gets better. That's what we're saying.
Is the generation after us going to look back and watch a series like Breaking Bad and be like, Jesus Christ,
oh
this
my
is
God, how did
TV?
They even watch this? That would be funny.
And you know, it's I can honestly say that overall, from start to finish, Breaking Bad has probably been one of the best series that I've ever seen on any channel.
Oh, I agree.
I would quickly give it to The Walking Dead because I'm such a huge fan of it, but that show has had so many problems in terms of direction.
Yeah.
That
behind the scenes and it's affecting it. Well, not even
behind the scenes. I think the first season was okay, but there were certain storylines that dragged out too long. They spent way too long at the farmhouse. The second season was kind of a mess. If you were to judge the series just based on the third season alone, I would say, yeah, hands down.
Right, right.
It's great. But Breaking Bad has been great from the pilot to...
Well, I think The Walking Dead is trying to adapt itself from a comic.
True.
So,
but it's still...
That's where, I think that's where a lot of the conflict comes in.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a good point, too, is it's still an adaptation of a source material that's out here.
Breaking Not new.
Bad is completely 100% thought new. Of yeah. out of their brains and put on paper. Vince Gilligan.
What a super unusual idea.
And I have to be, you know, I gotta say, I hope for his sake that this isn't his one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
He's got something else in him.
This is all he had.
Yeah.
Which scares me because they're doing a spinoff. Breaking Bad should not have a spinoff, but it's a prequel, and it's going to be called Better Call Saul. And it's before, it's Saul's life before he ever met Walter White or anything that happened in Breaking
Bad.
Don't
you want to say it's going to be funny, though, rather than so serious?
I hope so. I don't know.
He's pretty comedic on the show.
He is the comic relief, but... It just, you know,
if it's too serious, it's not. I don't think that's gonna work.
It scares me that it solidifies the fact that it is that Vince is a one trick pony.
Why is he writing that too?
Yeah, he's the executive producer. I don't know if he's writing it like he wrote Breaking Bad, but yeah, that's a little leery.
We'll see.
You know that that actually brings up another point. More turning it to anti-heroes. We'll come back to Breaking Bad because I don't know if it's possible for us to not have the entire show dedicated to the season finale Breaking Bad next week. I don't think there's going to be anything happening in our lives in the next 4 days that's going to be as exciting as the Breaking Bad, which is sad to say.
Very sad.
Our life revolves around this. You know, just focusing on the anti-hero and why it's so fun, I
think that it's too boring just to have a good person.
Well, there, you know,
it's
and I was
too one dimension. You know what I mean?
When we were watching the season premiere of Castle last night, which, by the way, again, love that show mostly because I love them. I mean, Nathan Fillion, I was a huge fan of his. I've been a huge fan of his since Firefly and all of the other stuff that he's done. You're right. I mean, it was so... The season premiere last night was so hokey, and the storyline was so absurd. And here's where... This is why network TV can be boring. When you have a show like... Breaking Bad. When you have a show like Breaking Bad, there is no character, including your lead, is safe. I mean, that show has killed off people left and right for no reason or for a very good reason.
Right.
And which, you know, we have no idea. I have a pretty good guess of how the show is going to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's going to involve a shitload of death.
Somebody's dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the lead character has cancer and is not getting better.
Right.
So he's going to die regardless.
Well, unpredictability. That's
yes.
Not be if we can't sit there and go, oh, and now they're going to do this. Oh, and now this is going to happen.
Here's the absurdity of network TV. So the series premiere, the season premiere of Castle last night, and is a two-parter in which ends where Castle has been poisoned with some deadly disease in which he has 24 hours to live. Now, what is the problem with that? The show is called Castle. The lead character's name is Castle. And if he dies, there's no show.
Right. So it does. So at least when they were killing off the cop, Kate, but kind of pretend, you right. know, she didn't die, but which you also knew was going to happen. You right. They weren't going to kill her. Yeah, it's we know what's going to happen. You're not shocking us.
Yeah, there's, and you know what? I don't even know if the writers are good enough to make next week's episode exciting enough to see how they get out of it.
We'll get over our unbelievable. We don't believe that this is going to happen anyway, but is it exciting to watch anyway?
So, right.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
And I think that becomes a problem with network TV is that it is very predictable. LL Cool J, and formerly known as Robin, are going to figure it out in the last five minutes, you know.
Right, there was, right.
You knew that 9 times out of 10, and I'm sure it was probably, 99 out of 100, that in the last 5 minutes, somebody was going to say something to make House realize what it actually was and run in and be like, I was wrong 50 times, but I'm not wrong now. And on that rare occasion that House fucked up and a patient died, which literally only happened like twice on the entire run of the show, it was character based. It was, he was high on pills or whatever. His own ego got in the way. But
do you still watch House?
House is done.
Oh, is it? Yeah. And you watch it right up to the end?
Yeah.
Even though it was so formulaic.
I know. But I liked him. That was the thing. I liked...
But he pretty much did the same thing every show.
But it was...
You liked his snarkiness
so much?
Yeah, I
did.
That was it?
His yeah. brand of snarkiness was entertaining to me.
Yeah. I guess that'll work.
New ways for him to be shitty to other people was why I watched it. Because it was going to be funny.
My
sense of humor,
absolutely
lends to that.
I have trouble once I figure out what the plan is for every show. That's what's hard about dramas for me. At least comedy, who knows where that's going.
It's based on the joke.
Yeah.
You know, and the characters right. for the most part.
But drama, it's going to be... Here's the case, they do this, and then they win.
Network TV. I mean, I would
argue... I think that's why The Good Wife does lose. We've been trying to keep track of when they lose to see.
Yeah. Through couple. 4 seasons, they've done pretty good at leaving it, at least not having every episode be predictable.
Right.
An overall story arc for a season can be somewhat predictable.
Right.
But... It's the show is not formulaic.
I agree.
Which is what makes it interesting and compelling. I started watching Scandal, the first season was only 7 episodes. she brings a new level to hypocrisy. I'm going to get you to watch it. The show in itself... 7 episodes is really good, and you want to find out what happens. But the problems I have with that show they stack right up there with, okay, my annoyance level is this high, but my interest level is also equally as high because I want to see where the story goes.
So I'm going to forgive your annoyance
yeah.
and hope you get over it and stop it. And
Yeah. And the first season's really tight. I kind of delved into the second season, but I didn't get very far. But, it'll be interesting to see where that show goes. But the idea of formula, I mean, I still watch Law & Order, Special Victims Unit.
Okay.
I miss original Law & Order because I liked the cops and the court.
Right.
The bullshit levels that take place on Special Victims Unit are, I mean, the falsehoods... that happened on that show, where they make the show, it's really to scare old people. Law & Order Special Victims Unit is to scare old people in the Midwest, because the show is
very
like
targeted.
It's the crimes that they come up with reach new levels of idiocy.
Yeah.
Where it's like, the internet is scary. Don't go on. Don't
robots. Robots are coming.
Don't let your kids go on the internet. What's with this texting? There's a texting killer that's Luring kids and raping
everything
Madeline.
They don't know everything anything about is what they target.
That's what the problem is. It's like this online gaming, online dating.
Yeah.
You know, how many serial killers have been in online dating? Craigslist. But of course, they can't call it Craigslist or Facebook. It's got to be
Bob's
like
Bob's List.
It's like, a face space or, some stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
But, I don't know why I still watch that show.
I think what's funny is when they figured out the formula for that, which basically what everybody does is write your own character into every crime scene. Which is kind of funny because...
Oh, right. You had a huge complaint about this
last night. Do all of the medical examiners go right to the site? Do all the attorneys show up right at the site? Really? No cops. We just got our top-level detectives, the medical examiner, five people from his office, and lawyers. That's what we got. That's who shows up at crime scenes.
What was so good about original Law & Order was the fact that it was a cop show and a court show combined.
Right.
You got a half hour of the police drama.
Investigation.
And a half hour
of court
drama.
Right.
Special Victims Unit is none of that. I mean, very rarely do they go into court.
No, but they do. It's the same thing. The oddest people are a clerk from your office is now at a crime scene. Why are you there? And why do they let you in?
No,
that's compromising a crime scene, for God's sakes.
No, I understand. I understand your argument. But the point is that Special Victims Unit is a cop show. I don't even know why they call it Law & Order. It's just a cop show.
Right. You don't get the other half, but...
And which is why I like The Good Wife.
But who shows up at their crime scenes? Special Victims Unit.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay? I guaranteed it. People who are not supposed to be there. Just because we want them in the scene. So,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what I really like about Good Wife. It's really good court drama.
Yes, no, they do the court stuff really well. I agree. That's why I like it. When they respond to a crime scene, however, an attorney
ridiculous.
At midnight, no.
Well, I mean, I guess if they're defense attorneys, so you can argue that somebody who's
it depends if it's their client, but that some of them have not been their clients,
right?
So it's just silly. I don't know. But apparently that's okay now. You can just write your character in wherever you like them to be. It's okay. It doesn't have to be realistic.
And, I think that's... I would argue, too, that that's a huge problem with specifically network TV, is that it's not... It's very unrealistic. I wouldn't say the events that happen in Breaking Bad or Dexter or Homeland are 100% believable, but it's definitely more grounded in...
Well, they sell the shit out of their, this is how it could totally happen, and they're not saying, and now it's Tuesday.
Oh, right.
What I mean? Skip ahead.
They don't use a lot of writer's sheets.
Right.
Breaking Bad definitely does not use any writer's sheets. I think most all loose ends at one point have been tied up. Dexter, the last few episodes of Dexter, totally writers cheated their fucking way out of that series, which annoyed the fuck out of me. And from the backlash I saw on,
I didn't get
Facebook,
nobody else liked that either.
No, nobody was a fan. And so let's talk about that. Wrapping up a show is really hard, and I don't know. Can you name one show that you've ever seen that you loved and you watched it from start to finish that wrapped up in a satisfying way for you?
MASH.
Did MASH? They all went home, right?
Yes. It was just very tear. It was a very...
Oh, I remember.
No, but the colonel, died. But that was during the series.
MASH.
Yeah, I was pretty happy.
The MASH...
Everybody went home.
Was just Hawkeye and what's his
BJ.
Face on the heliplad, right? And they just gave each other a hug, and then one got on the helicopter and one got in a Jeep or something, and they just took off or whatever. Okay.
I was okay with it.
Can you think of anything else?
Eh.
MASH. I've seen most of MASH, so I do remember that as being satisfying.
I remember more often than not shows that were not allowed to wrap things up before they ended, that it was just like, oops, you're ended. Yeah. And it left everybody else like, oh, what? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I remember that happens more often than not.
I think I just tend to remember more the absurdity. Like, Dexter was, you know, was fucktarded.
Anything that goes on too long in a series gets fucked. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. You want it to progress, but you don't want it to progress. I think, personally, Castle fell into the moonlighting.
They fell into moonlighting. Yeah, and it's the sixth season. They had five seasons of are they or are they not.
Right.
And boom, now they are.
But now it becomes boring.
Yeah. So maybe. I don't know. I'm hoping that...
They break up?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, I know, or really. Something. Yeah.
No,
because that got old too. The whole she's dating, then he's dating, and we're jealous, and me.
I think that Friends ruined the will they or won't they.
Rachel Ross.
The Rachel thing. Ross yeah. thing ruined that kind of a storyline for a series. Because that was just a yo-yo for, what, 9 seasons, 10 seasons?
When it first happened, and I was like, oh, see, this is going to be a mistake. I'm putting them together, finally. That's going down a wrong path. And then they handled it perfectly. They broke up for, like, 1 minute, and he cheated on her.
Right.
At least that you don't see. That then, you know what I mean? Then, normally, okay, but then we're going to get back together, and then we're going to break up, and then we're going to get back.
Then they had a baby, and then they had a one-night stand, and then they had a baby, and then they lived together, and then they didn't live together, and then she was going to go... And it was such a... That show, over 9 seasons, became all about that story. Ross and Rachel.
Where
are they going to end up?
Right.
And it took away from what that show was kind of about.
It did, but I think it takes the little incestuous thing.
Yeah.
But
like, the only one that didn't get laid was Phoebe.
I know, poor thing. Yeah, no, I think at least they took it a different route. You know what I mean? They really went all over the board with it, and unfortunately, do you not know people that happen that do that?
Well, of course,
break go up, back and forth. Go out. No.
The
so at least
the idea of you know the moonlighting problem, which for those of you listening that don't know what the moonlighting problem was, is for what 3 seasons they were. Will Bruce Willis and Sybil Shepherd hook up, or will they not?
Right.
Then they do hook up. They fall in love. They get married. Show turns to shit because that tension was gone.
Actually, what we did find out that was not actually that it was that was the curse that was put out there. But it turned out the writers could not actually keep up with the show.
Oh yes.
After
yes,
we researched it, we found out.
There was other problems.
Now it's called this, but it was not that because if they kept Willis, writing correctly,
Bruce
it
Willis
might have
wanted
worked.
To, you know, once Die Hard came out, he wanted to go do film. I mean, there was a lot of problems with that show behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But the excitement of the will they or won't they,
right,
was a problem, and that's not the only show that's happened.
No.
It's happening with Castle right now.
Everybody likes the chase.
Yeah.
I think you literally have to kill off one of them so that the other one can now find it. You can find a new person. Unfortunately, I think that's the only way to clean it up. Clean it up.
I don't know. What was the... I can't remember. There's a very famous... it wasn't Dallas because there was the Who Shot JR. That wasn't the end to the series.
Right.
That was the whole... It was all a bad dream.
Right.
But there was another show that ended.
Ridiculous.
They ended the show with "It was all a bad dream." I can't remember.
I know it's a
famous
joke.
One.
Well, it's a joke from soap operas. You know where they like evil twin brother.
Right.
I'm in a coma for years. Yeah. And I don't know.
We've seen some really absurd. I mean, when I know this is really focusing more on comedy and not drama, but. Night Court was a disaster. I love that show.
I did too.
And when Bull got beamed back up to his home planet because he was an alien, I'm like, really?
That's how you wanted to take it out?
Did you guys
really?
Just want to... Were you guys just phoning this one in?
Yeah.
There was another... That's another one. The Night Court got ruined by the will they or won't they.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Dexter went on too long. Sex in the City
went on too long.
Sopranos, you know, I guess we can't really talk about this without talking about the Sopranos, the famous Sopranos ending, where it just cuts to black in the middle of a scene and credits. You know.
So no, the no ending ending.
The no ending ending.
Yeah.
And, the, you know, when I think about another show that I watched from start to finish, which I loved, which I also realized anti-hero plus horrible production value in the beginning, you couldn't even get into it, but The Shield, the way The Shield ended was so not satisfying. And here's the problem with the anti-hero, because this is kind of where I wanted to take this conversation, is you week after week, season after season, you watch them do horrible things for their own
gain
satisfaction. Walter White claims it's for his family, right. But really, is it? I think his ego.
20 barrels full of money. Do we really need 20 barrels, Walter?
A Dexter, week after week, you saw him get, you know, and there's a certain part of you that roots for that character to get away.
Yeah.
The Shield was fucking horrible. How it was so not satisfying. I think a lot of the sub story were satisfying, but Chiklis's character, Vic Mackey, just basically turns state's evidence, turns himself into the feds, gets complete immunity for every single one of his crimes, and then gets his punishment is he gets a desk job at, like, I think the FBI or something.
Poor baby.
And he's just chained to a desk. And right. It's this whole concept of his punishment was he doesn't get the streets anymore. Jeans and t-shirt guy has been turned into suit and tie guy sitting at a desk.
Oh, that's horrible.
And it was like, so what? He basically got away with everything, yeah. Which, of course, throughout the course of that, you know, there's a huge cat and mouse game going on. Same thing with Dexter. Is he going to get caught? Is he not going to get caught? And the chase is so good, and you root for the bad guy to get away, but not to some certain extent satisfaction.
See, they very smart what they did on Dexter, because they made him the ultimate somebody that you're always going to feel bad for, because he was a child found in the pool of his mother's blood,
right.
In a, you know, shipping container. And he's broken. He got broke by witnessing his mother's death at right. such a young age. So you kind of don't feel bad. But at least if the father couldn't get it under control to make him stop, at least he got it under control to say, just kill bad people.
Right. Which he did.
Which he did.
So again, anti-hero.
Yeah, you know, but when did you stop rooting for Dexter, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no, don't kill that child molester. Dexter, please don't. You know, that never happened. So.
Well, and then of course it becomes, you know, every season there's one or two people that are on to him and question him. And that series has had good seasons and bad seasons, they took his anti-hero, much like Vic Mackey on The Shield. And again, for those of you who have not seen the series finale of Dexter, spoiler alert's coming up because I'm going to tell you the last scene. Deb gets killed. He puts her body out to sea and then
sails into a hurricane.
Boom. You know, Hannah gets away with his kid. The cut to the boat is trashed and no sign of Dexter, and he must be dead. And Hannah finds out about it, and his friends find out about it, and it's all sad because Dexter's dead. Cut to the very last scene is Dexter is a lumberjack in the Pacific Northwest, rocking a beard, sitting in a cabin alone. Yeah. And it's this whole idea of he was put into his self-imposed prison. He put himself there because he knew he was a danger to Hannah and Harrison and his quote-unquote dark passenger. Could he control it? Could he not control it? Blah, 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 blah. But it was...
Woe is me.
I was very happy that he didn't die. I did a little fist pump, like, all right, good.
So he got away.
He got away. But the fact that he got away to that...
Yeah, I know.
That was the disappointment. And if he had gotten away and he had joined Hannah and Harrison in Argentina or mm-hmm. wherever the fuck they mm-hmm. were going to go, that would have been
better.
And Deb not dying. That was a shitty... Like, she gets shot in the second to last episode. I just feel like that was a... And they use the whole, like, the ticking time bomb of whether or not they were going to get away or not was based upon the fact that people, the cat and mouse game was happening. The mm-hmm. cat was closing in. And they had a limited time to escape because of the hurricane. And the airports were shutting down.
Yeah. Kind of a writer cheat there.
It's
too,
a total writer cheat.
Let's throw a hurricane in here. Wrap this up.
There's okay. never been a hurricane on Dexter, even though it takes place in Miami, in 9 seasons. And the second to last episode, you're going to manufacture a hurricane to put pressure on whether or not they're going to get out of town. Come on, guys. Really? Why? I mean, I
don't know. I think it's smart if you're going to write a series. I think you should write each year as if it's ending. And write a satisfying ending at the end of, for the end of the year. And then if you find out you're going to go, then you change that last ending.
I mean, look here.
Sopranos close, if you saw that in a movie, you'd go, oh, part two.
Right.
Immediately. Obviously, that wasn't happening with Sopranos, but it normally means to be continued.
And, you know, what's funny about the Sopranos ending is I don't think it's possible to satisfy. Look,
I don't see how that was going to go happily for anybody.
When I first saw the Sopranos ending, I did the different route than everyone else. Everyone else, the next day, it was water cooler talk. Everyone was talking about it, and 99% of everyone was outraged. I thought it was brilliant. Because
they got 99% of people talking about it in an outraged way. Yes, awesome.
Which is, that is one aspect of it, too. But just as a viewer, I don't know if I was necessarily satisfied, but I got it.
Yeah.
I understood.
Right.
And I didn't question.
What did you mean by that?
The absurdity of what happened the next day where... You know, it's kind of like the ending to Inception, where the amount of people the next day who heard a gunshot after it went to black.
Oh, really? There was actually arguments about it?
Yes.
Oh, that's
funny. There was no gunshot. They invented in their mind a gunshot because that was going to allow them...
That's awesome. To finish it up for themselves. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. That's good writing.
And that's the argument with Inception is did the thing topple over? Did it not topple over?
I know, right?
And
yeah.
There were... you talk to people like who literally heard it topple after it went to black. And it's like... no.
That's okay.
But it's
that, kind of... I think that's it. I would hope that anything that we write that makes people argue.
Makes people and to be able to go to, you know, 8 seasons or whatever.
Oh god, that sounds boring.
You know what? it depends. I mean, How I Met Your Mother has been very successful going into its 9th season at keeping...
They're running out. They are literally running out of shit to do. They need to...
They're getting close, yeah. But I last night's 2 episodes, I thought, were really well done.
Yeah.
And if last night's 2 episodes set the tone for how this last season is going to go, mm-hmm.
We pretty much know what we think is
going to
be
I feel like it's going to be incredibly satisfying.
Yeah. No, that I shows agree. Been talking about that part for a long time. I think it's time now we at least get a couple of shows with the mother actually in them.
Well, and see, that's the genius part of it, is because, again, based on last night's episodes, if the rest of the season plays out how I think it's going to play out, the genius of those guys is that they're going to tell parallel storylines. They're going to finish how he met the mother, and that's going to happen
while showing the dating
at the same time a year later.
Yeah.
I know it sounds complicated, but
no,
last night it worked. It really
worked. They
totally
pulled it off.
And I would love to see, I mean, I think that would be fucking genius to tell that story parallel.
Right.
Them meeting and then
the older
a year
them,
from now.
The older them's discussing what happened.
Right.
Basically.
And I think that's another thing that adds satisfaction to. it just dawned on me talking about parallel storylines and seeing them 1 year in advance. 6 Feet Under was incredibly satisfying.
Oh,
because
it was?
You went through every
right.
single
yep.
character yep. and saw them from the moment we left them on the show to their death.
Yes.
And you got to see everybody end up where they should have ended up. And yep. I think when you talk about a satisfying ending, it's really about writing something. It's the not knowing that I think lends to people
you want to make sure everybody's okay.
Right.
People that you've watched for 5 to 6 years.
Right.
And consider very personal in your life. You want to know they're okay. Is that how that went?
You know, Prison Break was kind of an odd show. When it went off the air, they ended up doing an hour and a half like TV movie to kind of just wrap up the show because people, I think it got canceled early. I don't remember the story.
Yeah, one of those cutoffs.
And the hour and a half movie was kind of satisfying, but it was deeply sad because they basically killed off the main character, which
they could because there was no more series.
Right, but it does lend to that. You want to know everybody's going to be okay.
Right.
The characters that you love go on to live happy lives.
Right.
Or die. Which is great. Which was great about 6 Feet Under because, I mean, literally every character of the show, last, I think, 15 minutes or so was just their life.
Yeah.
And that was great.
No, it was.
I don't know. You know, everybody says that works on the show says that next week's episode and how they wrap up Breaking Bad is going to be extremely satisfying. I feel like there's probably going to be a lot of outrage the next day.
Of course. Of course.
But I can't.
There are still people who don't know whether they want him to get away with it. There are people on both sides saying, no, he's done. No, he just did it first. Let him go. He's fine.
You know, there is kind of
and other people go, he's evil. He's pure evil.
There is kind of an argument with the whole, you know, Team Walter, not Walter.
Yes.
I think that, you know, the fact that they invented a character that literally goes into the drug trade because he has cancer mm-hmm. and he wants to provide for his family mm-hmm. and he's only got 6 months to live, which mm-hmm. of course turns out to be longer
than
that.
Big fat lie.
But his cancer comes back, and the fact that they gave that is satisfying because I think he'll die a natural death.
As opposed to getting shot. Yeah, I agree.
Something will happen in the next episode that progresses his cancer just that much that when he does go out in a blaze of glory, I see him pulling the whole fucking Scarface ending where he's got that M60 in the trunk.
Everybody's saying that.
I think he walks into the compound and pulls a Rambo and just starts taking out Aryan Nation.
The people killed his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And ends up he's going to end up saving Jesse. I think it's going to be, it's all, I know, but it's all going to, it's, which again is predictable, but in a good way.
Yes. I think that the only source of outrage from fans the next day will be based on whether or not Jesse lives or dies. I think at this point, Walt's going to die, whether it be from his cancer or from going out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Whether or not Jesse dies in the process, because this is such a hard argument to make.
I don't think he dies, and I think he gets the kid.
Oh, Brock?
Yep.
Oh, that's... Ooh.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
It'll be...
Because it's his fault the girl died, so now he's going to be able to make amends.
Jesse will take the kid, and he'll take a barrel of money, it'll be the Goodwill Hunting ending.
He's in Acapulco with the kid.
It's just him getting in a car
money.
And driving
yeah.
off. Yeah. All right, that might be satisfying.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know, that show has been unpredictable from start to finish, so... Fucking... Last night's episode, when Angela gets killed... was like, wow, where the fuck did that come from?
I mean,
it's just such a random, pointless killing. Not pointless because it's
no, going and they to... and they're usually the ones who step in before something like that happens. You know, one or the other steps in. So the fact that they let it happen.
I think that at this point, Walt is no longer. I think Walt at this point is gone. I think he is on a mission to kill the people who wronged him before he dies.
Right.
I don't think there's no more talk. There's no more manipulation.
Nope.
There's no more lies.
Wiling people. Yeah.
It's I'm on my road.
Yep.
My road to the end.
It's gonna be awesome.
Which, and you know, he also kind of has to die in order to get Skylar off the hook, because they want Walt. And if Walt's dead, they have no reason to go after her anymore.
And he'll find a way to get her the money. The guy's going to give her the money.
Yeah. The relationship between Jesse and Walt, there's going to be a final battle. And I don't know how that's going to happen. I think for me personally, it would be satisfying if Jesse kills Walt. If Walt dies by Jesse's hand, that because of their father-son relationship that they've had over the entire course of the series and how that's gone down. I mean, when he sticks that knife in and tells them that he poisoned Brock and that he killed Jane, two episodes ago, it's just like Jesse needs his therapeutic thing to let him off the hook for all of the guilty shit that he.
Right.
Because, I mean...
That in the end, he did the right thing.
Jesse and guilt are synonymous. Yeah. I mean, his character from day one has been nothing but just wrecked with fucking guilt.
Yep.
And putting a bullet in Walt's head will end that guilt and let him live his life.
With the kid.
With the kid.
Yep.
I see that.
Yep.
So that's our prediction, people.
Oh, no, it's happening.
We will be talking... We will see how good of writers we are next week.
Yep.
When we talk about the Breaking Bad season finale.
Yep.
Series finale.
Sorry to bore everybody, but we're just like huge fans.
Well, hey, no, we're talking about writing. And
it is.
Boiling it down to writing, I think that you have to decide what kind of show you want. And anti-heroes are really hot right now. And telling a realistic story that's based in a realistic story based in reality. Burp. I'm a writer.
I write good.
I think that's something you have to think about. I don't think the formulaic days of network TV, yes, they do still exist.
But we're going to be moving past that very quickly. There's not a lot of more NCIS and the new ones that come out, unless they're very good, don't do well anyway. So
yeah, that's another thing too. You know, I'm really looking forward to tonight, because tonight is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So I have hopes up that
found another
Joss
show.
Is going to do well by doing that. You know, you have your shows, you have your network shows that have broken through. You have your shows like Lost, which, by the way, was not a satisfying ending to a show, because I called it in the first season.
Sad.
Which, by the way, is, I know a lot of people out there can compare that to, like, oh, I knew he was dead all along in The Sixth Sense. But having studied No Exit and read Existentialism.
Move off the Lost thing. That was a big fanboy thing too. I did not even watch it, so.
Yeah, but I mean, if you didn't know where that show was going,
you're blind.
You were blind. Lost was a very different show. It was
the basic idea of it was different. Yeah, I agree.
Alias. What started out being a different show and turned into something stupid.
I know. I used to watch it at the beginning.
Another one ruined by the Will They or Won't They.
Mm-hmm.
I never finished the fifth season. I never finished last season.
Nope.
I don't even know how it ended.
Nope.
Don't tell me, people.
You'll get around to it eventually
I actually tried, because I know exactly where I left off. I do remember where I left off.
That's funny.
Big Love... When Big Love ended in Bill's death, that's the only way that show could have ended.
I agree. That's the only way it could have worked.
That's the only way that show could have ended based on the direction they decided to go.
Right.
I think that show could have been something else. given the fact that there is actually a reality show on TV about polygamists that are out publicly.
Yes.
And it's not a big fucking deal.
Nobody's gunning for them.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But he's not running for public. God, that guy couldn't run for public. He could barely run to the bathroom.
Seriously, people, if you want to have a good time, the first two seasons are on Netflix. Sister Wives.
Oh my God.
My roommates and I, Colin and Beth and I, are obsessed. 2-hour season finale. I gotta get it. It was on last night.
Oh my God, they're probably jonesing for it.
We are. All right, so I think that's gonna wrap it up for this episode, not our series finale. We will be back next week. See, I tied it all in.
Oh, look at that. We will tied it same all in. Time next week.
No, probably not.
Probably not. Not at the same time. That was bad. Bad thing to say.
All right. I'm Annie.
I'm Cheryl.
Till next week.
Peace out. So send the pain below, much like suffocation. So